Blog Talk Radio.
Habits are over. No, I am not going to be late again. Still, I can't quite find the resources to bring you longer than the 30-minute show because of the financial considerations that it takes to lengthen the show. So be it. When I can, I will. But right now, just so everybody knows, we're over the 50,000 mark, 50,000 listen mark, and that is really beginning to dawn on me. We got something going here. So if you want to join in and give us a call, you can reach us at 347-945-6713, and I'll be glad to talk with you. The topic tonight, the Wall Street demonstrations, which have now spread to cities across this nation. The 99. I'm a member of the 99. I love those T-shirts. I got to get myself one. So, what do you think about the Wall Street demonstrations or whatever street you happen to be occupying in some country across the nation? Big news today on the Senate bill to the Senate consideration of the president's job bill. Of course, procedural issues, they failed to get enough votes to move the measure forward in the Senate. 50 senators voted to consider it. 49 senators voted not to consider it. And so the measure dies. Unbelievable. How have we come here? Maybe we're going to go into the second recession in Barack Obama's administration. Did I vote for Barack Obama? Yes, I did. And you all should know that. I pulled the lever for Barack Obama. Am I pleased with my choice? Well, I got to tell you, no, I'm not. He's been much too kind to the Republicans. He's bent over backwards to try to, move to the center, as they call it. I call it sellout. It is a class war. And anybody who thinks it isn't has something else there. And I'm so tired about hearing about how it's a war on the middle class. When are we going to wake up, folks? There is no middle class in America. We're all poor, except for the 1%, and we're getting poorer every day. The whole thing is just becoming a facade and a joke. Now, I've been yapping here for 25 minutes. Or, I'm sorry, for 5 minutes. We got 25 minutes to go. Let me check the chat room, see if anybody's home. Hey, the cult is here tonight. Maybe he'll call in before we're done. I hope he just got home from a demonstration. Have I been to a Wall Street demonstration? No, I haven't. I have not been to a Wall Street demonstration, and I feel kind of, I feel kind of bad about it. I'm sitting here looking at a bunch of pictures of them, and makes me whack nostalgic for my protest days. Excuse me, my protest days back in the 60s and late 60s and early 70s. Yeah, I sniffed the tear gas. I don't even remember if I got hit with a billy, but I know I ran. Are these demonstrations going to stay peaceful? Well, to stay on the air, I guess I have to hope they're going to stay peaceful. I'm not a war person. But, you know, I'm looking at all these photographs of what's going on Wall Street and all around the rest of the country, and I'm wondering why I'm not there. I think what people are really missing about these demonstrations, you know, like Al Sharpton, like he's trying to step in, like, oh, he's going to go down there and lead to justice. Your time's over, Al. So is mine. There's a whole new thing going on down here that's way different than anything that's come before it. Hey, we got a guest. Oh, somebody in the chat room says, hey, Norm, you're dreaming. Well, you know what? Maybe I am. But I know what it's like not to be able to find a job. I can tell you that. And I know what it's like to work at a job. Well, the first jobs I worked at, those jobs, they're not coming back anymore. And it's really interesting what is going on. Let me see how the guest is doing that's come to the chat room. Oh, God, I can't even type tonight. But I'm asking the guest, is he a veteran of the demonstrations? I'd love to get somebody on the line that's actually been to one. Hey, we got a call coming in here. Go ahead, 802. You're on the line with Norm at Night.
Why, hello, Norm. It's Matt Kropp calling from Blast from the Past.
Oh, my God. Let's not use names here. You know, you got your voice mixer on. We'd hate for the powers that be to... How are you?
My identity's long spoiled.
Oh, I know. But anyway, we got a good crop of demonstrations coming in, pun intended.
Yep.
So how are things? Have you been... down at one of the sites yet?
Yeah, I actually went down to, I've been down to New York twice now from Vermont where I live.
Okay. And tell us what's going on. Give us your feelings about what's going on down there.
Well, the first time I went down, it was basically, I knew the demonstration was coming up beforehand, but I was not 100% sure if it would actually have staying power, so I kind of committed to myself that I would be, if they made it till Monday, I would head down and spend a few days down there. Sure enough, they made it to Monday, so I did that. And it was pretty small at that point. You know, it was maybe 100 people sleeping in the park.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back to Vermont.
This is on Wall Street in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in New York on Wall Street, in Liberty Plaza.
Ed. Hold on 1 second. You're on with us, and just join in whenever you feel like it. But our demonstration veterans talking right now. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay. But yep, I'm still here.
Go ahead. The floor is yours.
So then I stayed down there for a few days, left, and then went back last week for a few days, and it just blew me away, like the amount of organization, the amount of people. It's really the amount of self-organization is huge. I was there on the Wednesday when the Union March happened, and, God, it was like a crowd of probably 40 or 50,000 people at the rally, and then marched down, got kettled in by cops for a couple hours, but wasn't in the area where the, you know, it was.
Were you involved with the Brooklyn Bridge?
No, at the Brooklyn Bridge, I've been going down kind of midweek. So the Brooklyn Bridge was on a Saturday, and the times I've been going down have been usually head down Tuesday, come back on Thursday.
Okay, do you have a job?
I'm freelancing, so pretty much I work on my laptop and, you know, can hook into the internet on the megabus going down and back.
So what, in your view, what's going to make these people go away?
I mean, it's a big, complex issue, kind of what's going on with our economy and all of that. And so, you know, people when I was there, people were asking, you know, would stop by and be like, so when are people going to leave? And I think the best answer to that is people are going to leave when they feel like they don't need to be there anymore.
Oh,
and it's kind of an unsatisfying answer here.
I was thinking winter would do it.
Well, it depends, because there's in various places I'm hearing rumblings of, you know, not just New York, but a lot of the other occupations looking at unoccupied buildings and essentially moving into squats for the winter in order to kind of maintain continuity.
Oh, that's very European, yeah.
Wait a minute. Let me make sure I understand this. You mean there's actually talk are plans being made to take over vacant buildings in New York and just stay there for the winter?
I haven't been privy to conversations in New York, but I've spent some time at Occupy Boston and certainly in the sort of other local Occupies, people who I've been in touch with in the networks.
Hmm.
And this is something that's popping up in multiple places just as an idea to specifically set it up, you know, in places like where I live, where it gets very cold in the wintertime and services are being cut,
especially for people,
to create a safe space, safe indoor space, kind of alternative to the homeless shelters and things.
Yeah. Has Brookfield been in touch again with the Occupy Wall Street people? Brookfield, the property, owns the park.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting because of the guests of a rather large corporation.
Right. Well, there's sort of the corporation is not terribly happy about it, but they're kind of, hands are legally tied.
It has an odd status of being a public-private park.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly how that works, but I know Bloomberg said that they're the only people who could conceivably ask them to leave or have them evicted.
Right.
But even that is dicey, and they haven't gone that route yet. So.
Right, and because it would be hard because I know when I was there, there was actually the legal committee was, you know, basically has it all lined up so that if they attempt an eviction, there will be a lot lengthy court battle. There's a lot of pro bono lawyers who are, you know, hanging out.
Yeah.
And
they're concerned with damage and sanitation, all those issues, of course.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
That's interesting. I believe Bloomberg's wife is on the board of directors of Brookfield, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
So
I mean, if you want to talk about a Wall Street mayor, I mean, you can't get more Wall Street than Bloomberg.
Oh, absolutely. Although I have to say, I think he runs one of the best news channels out there.
Hold on, guys. Hold on. Go 215. You're on with us. Just join into the demonstration or into the discussions whenever you feel like.
I mean, it's very refreshing to watch news, especially political commentary, where people don't talk over each other all the time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, very civil, you know.
I wanted to make a comment, though.
So I have a real question. So
yeah, a real one.
Are we supposed to go into these Wall Street firms and just drag the guys away and throw them in jail?
Well, that's what's going to happen eventually. I think
a lot of people. Hey, 804, you're on here with us now. We got a regular party, so just when there's a space in the action or you want to say something, just join in.
Okay.
I'm working on taking care of Wall Street in a whole new way through creative utilization of information. You don't have to go out and put your body in physical jeopardy. You can just use your mind and learn how to creatively empower yourself and create opportunities where none existed and take control over opportunities on a global scale.
How do we do that? Give us a brief.
All right.
How do I do that? I
created a product in July. I'm bringing it in from the spiritual realm into the physical realm. I call it a Y-Pod, and unlike Mr. Jobs, who had people buy his products, mine is offered free to all mankind. And it's basically just a common sense idea that will open up your creativity. You empower and give value to it by the way you interact with it. And Y-Pod stands for your personal opportunity database. Off the grid, it can be as simple as an index card file of contacts and opportunities, again, that you empower and give value to by the way you network. On the internet, it can be a website, blog, or a social media application, and those can be portals to sophisticated, computer-coded, pre-qualified global business opportunities. In other words,
thank you. Now, back to what's going on down there where it's really happening. I mean, how is this going to end?
I don't think it's going to end that easy, to be honest with you. I think what this is all about, and the media is making jokes about it, and people are making jokes about it. They're saying, oh, a bunch of people just going out there protesting against a bunch of rich people. It's a little more than that. We're talking about attitude here. We're talking about people are really sick, truly, truly sick of government. They have finally realized that government and big business has only one agenda, and it's money and power.
Yeah.
And people are getting sick of it. And although the demonstration may at times not seem very organized, and you may see a lot of blue-haired people there, but they're always there in all types of demonstrations. These people have nothing to do, so they show up in the demonstrations. But there are some very serious people there. There are professors, there are scholars,
okay,
there are lawyers.
Let me ask you a question, everybody that's on here now. Do you think that the people at the demonstrations are mad that some people have lots and they have nothing?
I think
they don't want anybody to have a lot, or are they mad that some people have a lot and it's not them?
Oh, I think
mad because we're being manipulated and they're just discovering that.
One at a time. Sorry, as much as I hate rules, we can't all talk at once.
Go ahead.
But somebody has to talk.
Go ahead, buddy.
Okay. My sense is that a lot of people are bringing a lot of different narratives to the protest, you know, about why things went down the shitter or what needs to be done about it. You've got libertarians there, you've got old line Marxists there, you've got like various breeds of anarchists and everything in between. But to my mind, what really ties everyone together is just a sense of injustice.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter where you come from, the idea that, you know, if an average person fails financially, they lose their home, they lose their assets. If the largest corporations and the richest people in the world fail financially, the government gives them a free ride.
Exactly.
I think that that is that's fundamentally unjust and unfair. No matter your ideology, it's just, you know, basically morally wrong. And so
okay,
I think,
just use your area codes. Which area code is this speaking?
This is 802.
802. Okay, what do you say, 215? I totally
agree with the gentleman. You know, people, it's not about that you have more than I do, so I'm jealous of you. It's how they obtain that money, how many people were killed for it in the war, how they slime us, lie to us to get that money, and then they tax us. You know, taxes were not to be made. Money was supposed to be made in America by selling our natural resources.
Okay.
That's how the money
was
supposed to come. Then taxes came in.
I'm going
to
interject
now,
something in here. Well, time out. I want to interject something in here. And this is something that I'm a veteran of the 1960s and the early 70s. I'm also a military veteran. And in those days, people were demonstrating, particularly college students, of which I was one at the time, because college students were getting killed. And not really because we were in a war. It's because college students were getting killed. And as soon as college, which is, let me finish, as soon as college students stopped being drafted and stopped getting killed.
That's right.
All the demonstrations went away. Now what's happening is
the poor getting killed.
College students aren't getting jobs. They're not being let into the gravy train. This ticket that they bought suddenly isn't worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
So can we make the ticket worth it?
Well, I understand what you're saying. And at one time, I go back to the 60s, too, and I also demonstrated in the streets against the war and against a lot of other things during the 60s. And I'm very proud to have done that. During the draft, I remember burning my draft card. I was a 1A, and I burned it because that's about that what I believed then. Now, the war, the armed services now is a voluntary, but that's going to change. So.
Yeah, now we have a mercenary army.
Right, but that's going to change as well soon.
And that's worse. That's horrible.
No doubt it's going to change. But back with the what I was saying about the Wall Street protesters, there is a lot of different ideologies, a lot of different reasons why a lot of people are out there. But the main thing is that everyone sees one thing. They see injustice. And, you know, this happened in Yemen. This happened in Egypt. This happened in many other places before. But these people went on and overthrew their government. We have peaceful demonstrations, at least for now. The reprisals will come down. The government will come down on the people here in the United States, no doubt. They are not going. J.P. Morgan just gave the city of New York $47.1 million for the police.
$4.7 million.
How much?
$4.7 million.
Yeah,
$4.7 million to help with the security. Now all these big companies are going to be doing that and try to fight these demonstrators, but someone out of those demonstrators are going to come up with a very strong agenda, and the longer they're out there, the more people are going to wake up. There is no doubt. You know, factions may be formed after this. You know, some are going to be more militant than others. But it all points out to one thing. People are tired. We are tired of being robbed, being lied to. The banks tax you for everything. You go to a teller, you pay a teller. You pay to talk to a teller that charges you monthly. If you don't have $6,000 in the bank, then you don't qualify for a free checking anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So what average American has $6,000? The average American don't have.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me these demonstrations are because we don't get free checking accounts anymore?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Is there something else that I think is missing from this conversation, too. And that's the structure of the demonstrations themselves, which is...
Yes, that interests me a great deal. As you know from my past with you.
Uh-huh.
I don't care for government very much.
And I think that, you know, there's a couple of examples of this, but essentially, you know, creating these profoundly horizontal democratic structures that are consensus-based has created some really interesting situations in which it has fundamentally changed people's relationship to the political system. Like in Georgia yesterday, a congressman
in Atlanta, Georgia,
either yesterday or the day before, a congressman who's, you know, fairly liberal Democrat congressman went to the General Assembly with the intention of giving a stump speech there. And you know, he went expecting them to spend the whole agenda of the meeting for his august person to address the crowd and then go off to his next meeting. What the assembly said was, we already have an agenda. There's a time for people to speak out. You're a person who's come here. That's the time. Yeah. Just because you're a congressman doesn't mean you get preferential treatment in our General Assembly. We are all equal in this situation. And he actually, like, ended up leaving in a huff because they didn't give him special treatment. But, I mean, you know,
okay,
perfect
now that's
example.
Interesting. Today on Politics Nation, the esteemed Al Sharpton said he's going down to lead the demonstration in the march. What's going to happen when he shows up there?
I mean,
oh, man. I've never had this many people on in one
time.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't even know what's happening. This is really kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting all kinds of noises and things that I've never seen before. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, here's my solution.
Well, let me ask another question.
What's that?
What if I took Norm at Night live to a demonstration? Would it be welcomed or scorned?
Oh, welcomed.
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole, at least in New York, there's a whole media section where,
mm-hmm.
you know, they've got their own Wi-Fi set up. They've got their own generators running for power. Like, you know, just people in around little tables just, you know, banging away at laptops. So you just plug into that infrastructure and away you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I got my daughter going out there. She's been going out there on her own here in Philadelphia for the past 3-4 days and sleeping.
Okay, so you're in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. And they're right in City Hall, and they're sleeping right there, all 24/7, they're taking shifts. My daughter's been out there for the past 3 days in sleeping bags, and that's what she truly believes in. And
how old is your daughter?
She's 17.
Okay, so she's not looking for a job yet.
Well, she works. She has a job. And, yeah, she
better
works.
Better than me.
She works in, she comes out of work and she goes there. And, she's following her father's footsteps because I did many demonstrations myself and I'm very proud of her. You know, she's an activist by nature.
And what about her mother?
Well, she's a homemaker, but she supports her as well. You know, any type of injustice must be supported. Like here, we had the strike on Verizon. Recently, and I supported I even made up a webpage just to support the Verizon workers because I know the experiences that I've had with Verizon. I mean, they are a lying company. They penny and dime you all the time, and they'll charge you for dial tones and wire that already exists there. You know, I mean,
everybody just hold on a second. I just want everybody to understand that. In about 50 seconds, will no longer be heard over the internet, but will still be being recorded for the archive show. But I just wanted everybody to know that. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was saying that I'm familiar with these big companies because I've looked out for it. You know, many people are not. Many people get a bill from the utility company, from the telephone company, whatever. They go on and pay it. No one questions it. Because they really believe that big business is always right. Well, when you start looking into your phone bills and start looking at your Comcast bill and all this stuff, you start to see how you're really being penny pinched all the time.
Yeah.
And people are realizing this finally. They say, why the hell am I paying for this? Why? The credit cards, Obama has set some kind of law where credit card companies are cutting a charge a certain percentage. So what they do, they found out a loophole, and now they're able to charge you some other way. So they always find something. They never lose money, you know?
Okay. And, I'm going to give you the Constantine idea of, or the Norman Knight idea, if you would, about if you want to have an effective demonstration, you do. I'm willing to bet the vast, overwhelming majority of the demonstrators all have bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to start a giant run on every bank in America.
I'm actually one step ahead of you there, Constantine. I'm in the midst of organizing right now a something for October 20th, which is International
uh-huh.
Credit Union Day.
Yeah.
And basically, I've been in touch with people involved in the Occupy movement all across the country, essentially setting up pickets outside of bailed out banks, handing out pro-credit union literature and with pro-credit union signs, essentially encouraging people to do a mass transfer into the cooperative banking system and out of the corporate one.
Yeah, I saw that online
for
the transfer day.
Mm-hmm. Well, bank transfer days, the person who created it was kind of an idiot because she created it on a Saturday when banks don't post anyway. So International Credit Union Day is next week or next Thursday, and it's a Thursday, so banks are actually open on that day. So we're kind of pushing on. We actually just got Move Your Money's endorsement this morning. So
a credit unions are better anyway. They don't charge you for it.
You know what? That's a lie.
Can I interject for a second and give a plug?
Credit unions aren't any different than banks.
No,
they
I think banks
under
charge
the same regulations.
No, they actually operate under different regulations.
Oh, yeah.
They don't operate under different regulations.
They're not-for-profit cooperatives.
They have mm-hmm. not operated under different regulations since the collapse of the savings and loans.
Oh, they have completely different rules.
Well,
Hang on, guys.
I actually just spent 2 years getting my master's degree in history of the credit union movement. I can say with some certainty that they do, in fact, operate under different regulations.
Okay.
Yeah.
They operate under the same discount rules as every other member of the Federal Reserve System.
Oh, certainly, yeah. But they have a different regulator.
And the
ownership structure is extremely key.
The place where the bad things happen is in the discount rate. Assets they have to actually have on hand in order to loan money.
Well, the fractional reserve thing is only a piece of it. There's a big piece of it is actually ownership structure. If you have a banking firm that's owned by third-party shareholders, they have a greater risk preference than do the depositors. Depositors want the banks to behave more conservatively with their money. In a credit union, you don't have that opposition of interest. And so if you actually look at failure rates of banks versus credit unions, the failure rate of banks, corporate banks, of banks that are shareholder-owned, is several times larger than the failure rate of credit unions because of that different incentive structure.
Now, do credit unions have the option also if they say, well, I do not want to charge this particular fee like the other banks are doing?
Mm-hmm.
They can do that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And because they're being
a not-for-profit cooperative, it's their obligation to give benefits to the members of the credit union.
Okay.
So, obviously, you aren't going to charge the fees and all that sort of thing. It's that's why you're joining. And the other is the.
I'm a 40-year member of the 40. No, it's not quite 40 yet. 38-year member of Navy Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I know the whole credit union. I was a savings and loan fan till the Bush brother that nobody ever hears about went and wrecked those.
Yeah.
His brother probably did.
Yeah, lack of regulation.
My savings and loan became a federal savings bank.
Uh-huh.
Hello.
But let's just have a run on the bank, put the money under our mattresses, and watch the whole damn system come down.
Well, don't mess with J.P. Morgan, because that's my bank. So. And I have no intention of changing banks. I'm sorry.
Wow. You know, you can be with the people, or you can get walked on. It's your choice.
Yep.
Well, no. At the moment, I profit more from J.P. Morgan than I ever would from a credit union. I get a lot of perks, you know. Now, if they take all that away and start charging me fees, then maybe things will change, you know. But,
no, when the government starts cracking down and starts freezing people's money.
Yeah, where the laws have actually shifted a bit in recent years, like expanding field of membership, so you might be surprised what you find from a credit union.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of trouble getting away from Bank of America, because wherever I used to bank, they tended to buy everything.
Mm-hmm.
I had Quicken Riley as a discount broker, and Bank of America bought it. I had First Bank of America bought it. My mortgage is Countrywide, and Bank of America bought it.
Yeah. Well, your problem is you keep using, don't use banks.
Time out. We're gonna start with 215. Last thing to say, because I'm gonna turn this off.
Well, my last comment would be.
My
last comment would be that I truly support injustice and everyone who fights against injustices, and I will do my part, and I hope that everybody does their part, because we are all in this together, no matter what color, religion, or anything. We are in this together. It is them against us.
Thank you very much. 804.
Yes, thank you. I hope everybody will take a look at this blog that was put on the internet for me. Just Google the word creativity, the number 777.com, then Google my name and call me. The phone number should be on there. I exposed the former federal government bureaucrat back in the 80s for fraud. It indirectly brought down the Speaker of the House, Jim Wright. Check my name out after you see it on the blog there, and call me. The blog was put on the internet by the gentleman who interviewed me. I only use my phone number. I don't have email or anything, but I am standing in my truth. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran. I got a lot of stuff to come out.
Okay, well, thank you, 804. Call again next week. 802, go ahead.
Hey, I would just say, if you have not been to Wall Street yet, take the time, take a day or two, go. It's an incredible environment. You will meet some incredible people there, and you will not regret it, no matter what you have sacrificed to be able to go to it. So make your voice heard there.
Thanks very
awesome.
Much. Hey, and we had quite a night here, Carl. Go ahead.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Yes, it was.
Well, I'll tell you what. I would like to see a return to the basics of capitalism. And for that, I have to go to Adam Smith. And the taxes the only taxes he believed in were property taxes,
what?
Luxury taxes, and excise taxes.
Mm-hmm.
No income taxes.
Okay.
In other words, you had to be of a certain group, in other words, a property owner, which was a big deal back in the, 18th
century. And I'll go
to his greatest
and most effective critic. The only value in this world comes from labor. And with that, we'll call it a night on Norm at Night, and we're going to go out with a little bad habit.
What's up?
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Take care.